Hello, everyone. We're back from our Batcast disappearance here. And we are back for another draft analysis with... I've got Rookie and Tom Servo with me here.
Thank you.
If they want to say hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Hello.
And the general analysis that we're going to be going over here is a lot about the insides of this draft. It's quite a small draft, not necessarily that large of one, but we want to look into the depths of it, see what kind of quality prospects are out there that everyone else might have been missing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Always comes around when draft, you're always able to pick up, like, guaranteed. We already know who's going to probably go first, second, third, but it's always those late round picks that always kind of seem to come together to build the team in particular. I mean, even for you, 01 for Detroit, some of the moves that they made back in the J, can really turn around the team. I mean, Rookie and I are coming from Kelowna, which I think I was 9th or 10th, so a little bit in the mid draft, and even someone like me is able to produce pretty consistently within that role. Would you agree with it?
Yeah, I do agree. It's like basically like every pick can turn out to be great. It just like comes down to what the user does and like what like, especially I think like in the SHL, it's about like if like the GMs are great and can help like some new players and prospects. Surely, like, every pick can turn out to be great, you know? That's just, like, yeah.
Of course.
I mean, even in the waivers, like, I speak on my waivers experience because...
Waivers go...
Waivers, you can find a lot in waivers. Don't count those out ever.
I've never had the privilege of being on waivers ever before, so... With you both being GMs, you both know that type of... being able to pick up those needed players. I mean, wasn't it even for Kelowna, Rookie, we picked up a few people just for the playoffs?
Of course. Yeah. Those, I think it was the advance, though.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, those players can come in handy and, like, fill some roster spots and actually become some, like, great players for your team and actually, like, make history sometimes, yeah? So, I said earlier, it's really about like what the GMs like does to surround those players and help them to develop, and
I feel like to start this out here, we should probably go over the draft order here.
Of course. Let's go ahead and get into that.
Yeah.
So first round, we had a recent trade. New Orleans trades up to the number one overall pick. Then we have Calgary at second. Buffalo at third, and a little recent trade that just kind of sparked up, we got Philadelphia with the 4th overall pick now.
Ooh. Okay, where were they originally picking?
It looks like they originally picked it here. Oh, wait, no, 21st.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
So it looks like with this trade, they gave up a season 86 and 87 first rounders as well as an 86 second. So in this draft, they'll be picking both 4th and 21st.
Wow.
That's going to be a fun one.
Oh, that
is
quality picks, of course, first rounders. Yep. Never can go wrong on them, so yeah.
Yeah.
Especially that first overall,
First overall, and especially with the quality, the early quality there is of these first few prospects, you could really get.
Yeah. They're usually always with, like solid owners.
With any of those top 4 picks, really, you could.
Yeah, you could really. You can honestly build a team around, especially when moving from the J going up into, because you know all these players are going to have their. Routine established, they're going to have their locker rooms pretty much being involved in it, everything like that. Just, right. It's going to be absolutely amazing to see, because as we know, myself, this is going to be my first season moving in from the J to the SHL, seeing the difference between that, being able to play against players who are not going to be capped out. You really get to, in my opinion, branch out and experience your character or your build, whatever you want to categorize it as. You're really able to take that step and develop that player that you kind of had thoughts of, that you were able to mess around with in the J, but taking that next step up, and especially with the GMs and what they're doing in what I'll call the show, I guess, seeing what they can do and build teams together. I mean, look, the past couple of years that we've had that have come down, teams in order to maintain their dominance, it all comes back to us down to drafting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else do we got on the draft order?
Fifth overall, we have the Panthers.
Okay.
I don't know how they slipped from 2 to 5 like that, but they did. And we have Minnesota, who goes from 1 to 6.
Oof.
That's tough. Oof. That's a tough loss. Nashville at 7th. We got the Pride at 8. As well as we also had them at 3. Madison at 9. Calgary at 10. So that's our top 10. Calgary and San Francisco both have 2 top 10 picks.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And even taking a look at the rest of the draft for just the top, just within the first round alone, the Pride, I believe, have 3 draft picks. Calgary has 3. The Rage have something that's always interesting for the Rage or for a team is back-to-back draft picks. It's nice to see what teams can do in that regard. And then the Sound actually pick up, I believe it's 2 draft picks as well. So a lot of teams double dipping in this first round.
Yeah. Cincinnati at 6. Another double dipper here. The Panthers once again at 12. It looks like they're really starting to build that prospect pool with these first few picks that they have, both at 5 and 12. They should both be able to find some quality picks in there.
For sure. For sure, for sure.
Toronto. I missed Winnipeg. Winnipeg's at 13. Toronto at 14th. 15 and 16 are both Manhattan. At 17, we have Nashville, who has 7th and 17th. Calgary at 18th. That's their third first-round pick. The Pride, once again, at 19th. Also their third first-round pick. Seattle at 20th, 21st goes to Philadelphia, 22 goes to Minnesota from a trade with Toronto. I don't know how long ago that was, though. 23 is Edmonton, and 24 will be the Glacier Guardians.
It's going to be very interesting. All right. Very interesting picks, a lot of there. Lots of teams going to be able to really build up on the back end for that, wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. And like you said earlier, like it seems like teams with multiple picks are really acknowledging that like the draft is the best technique like to develop. Even though it may take time, in the long run, it's always going to pay more than imagine signing some guys in the free agent, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right. For sure, for sure. So you boys want to go ahead, let's get started. Who do you all have on your mock for going first overall?
I mean, we could look at New Orleans' need actually in like prospect pool.
For sure.
First, before like actually like stating which guy
for sure
will go first.
Yeah.
Taking a quick look at their prospect pool, I see that it's like they don't have a lot of prospects that first thing first, and that like they actually don't even have like one prospect for like each position. So.
Oh, right. Wow. Wow.
So what I noticed about New Orleans as well is they have a really young group of centers. They have Drew McIntyre, season 80, Rocky Gislason, who's an 80, and Optimus Autonomous, who's an 81. As well as they have Danashi Mumi, who's a season 79.
Wow, so
it looks like they're very stacked on centers in this.
Yeah.
On their roster right now.
Very interesting. Yep. So it's safe to say they probably shouldn't go a center.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Well, fantastic. Building that depth down the middle is always very nice to see, and especially with what Rookie pointed out. I wasn't aware that they didn't have that many prospects sitting in their pool. So this draft is particularly could really set the tone for what they want to do moving forward. Granted, they only have one pick in the first round. They kind of have to really kind of dictate what that need is. The need could be a winger, could be a D. Picking that and just really kind of laying into potentially moving forward with the rebuild, getting out of this type of move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, looking at that prospect pool, it seems like there's, like, one particular need that's, like, highlighted, and it's the need for left defensive. That's what I see. Since it's, like, it's, like, the position where they don't even have, like, a prospect. So, obviously, moving like, forward is going to be, like, very important to, like, solidify this position.
Sure.
Especially with, like, I think they like, yeah, they have, like, a kind of young core going up, but still, I'm going to take a look at that defense. Here, there's Mikael Enevolsten, okay? So he's a S-74, and even though he has, like, some solid TP, they're going to need a guy to replace him at some point, so...
In the next four seasons, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to think ahead in this draft, especially because there's going to be a lot of aging.
Oh, yeah.
Groups. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so go ahead.
Who do you guys have going first?
Let's see. To be honest, I wasn't going I'm always more of the mindset to pick always scoring. And that's bad because I'm typically a defense, even though my guy is a winger, I always consider myself like, defense doesn't matter if you can score a lot of goals. But in reality, I'm not quite sure where to go from here for the left-handed portion. I was more focused along the center, not the centers, but more on the wings. What do you all, who do you think?
I personally am focused on the defense. I've learned, especially with my time in Detroit this season, is that defense does, in fact, seem to really matter.
Okay.
So we really got a split decision there on that, depending on the defense and the offense. Detroit had one of the best offenses and counteracted with one of the worst defenses, and... it didn't work in our favor at all. Got upset in the first round by the main Timber.
Okay.
So it began to make me really think that, hey, maybe defense is a lot more important than we seem to realize.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And obviously, like, if you're also, like, if you have, like, a well-rounded defenseman that's able to, like, play big minutes on the PK and actually defend pretty well while also putting up like a good number of points, it's a double threat. You can use that guy everywhere, and obviously he's going to be like the cornerstone.
For sure. Gotta go ahead and pull up. Sorry, I'm picking up on mine. I gotta pull up my list. It all went away for a moment. Let me go ahead and pop mine in. So if we're going D, there's only one true standout that comes to this. And for me, that would probably be Quinton. Just because coming from Vancouver, playing left-handed defense, registering 31 points on the blue line, that's a pretty good feat. Vancouver was very, very competitive this year as compared to previous years, always staying within the dog for it. So Quinton, at least for me, seems like a pretty solid first overall pick as well coming into this.
Except I noticed another Vancouver defenseman that you didn't point out there, and that's Polywag.
Pauly's up there too, but both defensemen coming out of Vancouver for that. I think it will come down to, go ahead, why do you think Pauly over Quinton?
Pauly, they're stuck on a really equal earning basis. I believe Quinton has one up on Pauly right now. Mm-hmm. But one thing I've learned about Pauly is that Pauly is an amazing locker room presence, as well as has an early hefty bank account that should be able to provide consistent trainings. Both have great bank accounts, but I think the locker room presence and the activity will eventually give Pauly Wag the slight edge there.
For sure. What do you think, rookie?
Yeah, well, obviously, Owen is right. I think that, like, having a great presence in your locker room is, like, a primordial thing for the future of your team, since, like, if you, especially with the first overall, you're looking to keep that, like, that user for a long moment, all right? So, if it's, like, if they're a great person, I guess that, like, it's just, like, what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah. And
since, like, yeah, since you're gonna, like, be around that person for a, like, a long span of time, well, obviously it's like key that this person actually can, like, really, really get along your locker room and create a great presence.
Oh, for sure. Especially from what I've learned, being, I'm more locker room presence type myself going into just wanting to get to know with everyone. I'll admit I'm more lurker than speaker, but that locker room presence, it's always very, very nice to build upon, especially when you're coming in with that high earnings, being willing, that shows that the person is willing to take advice as well. So you have, consensusly, would you say you take, both of these choices, by the way, are really good from the standpoint.
You can't go wrong with either,
but that brings up the second overall. So two D men going back to back, it could happen. Both of these are very good high earners, but for a team like, for another team that's going to be picking in this, it's the Dragons or Calgary. Where does their need lie?
Well, by the looks of it right now, Calgary does seem to have quite a bit of a 82 and 83 prospect pool. The three players that stand out to me the most and are really the only three that stand out on a huge level would be Mellon Lord, a left defenseman, KJ Daniels, a goalie, and Seth Astorico. I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name.
Okay.
Who's a center. So it looks like on each side of the ice, we got three positions. They have at least one player that's exceptional at all three.
That's fantastic moving forward. So they could potentially pick up that whoever, if either Quinton or Pauly doesn't get picked, they could pick up either or of those. They could also pick on, I believe Johan is also a part of there as well, name throwing out there. I've seen his name coming into kind of the fold as well, being a pretty solid earner as well.
Lots of options here.
For sure.
Especially
as well, as there is a Thunder speaker as well.
Great name, by the way. Great name.
Yeah. The left winger out of UConn currently leads the class in TPE. As well as they could also go with Ashton Callaway, who's the other one, Panda Man. The center out of Kelowna.
You guessed it. Kelowna, yeah.
Yeah. Both Johan and Ashton, both of them very solid for first season performance for Kelowna. Like, Jordan, just speaking out for him, for a rookie, your guy character came out flying from the inception. I mean, you were a top pick in our class anyway. You were a top pick, but some of these rookies were putting up pretty good numbers on our team was we're going to be bragging here a little bit. Our team was pretty good this year.
Yeah.
We lost back-to-back championship types, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Not salty about it, but that's their performance is not bad. Putting up at least 25 points plus, but sitting around in that 30 points area, being that lower liner, being able to slot in wherever, that those these types of players, if you're thinking long-term, if you want to take that type of chance on them, it's good. It's good. And they were also pretty active in the locker room as well.
Yeah, I can confirm that. Like, as a GM, like, obviously I scouted them, so I kind of saw the quality, and, like, there might be some bias coming in, but for me, they're really great persons, and they can really bring a positive impact to your locker room while also, like, producing some great amounts of points. With, like, it seems like this season they had, like, some, because they were rookies, obviously, they had some reduced playing time, but they still put up the points. They still did their job. So, playing some great minutes.
Just wanted to know.
You know? And, yeah, and obviously, like, they're great guys, and, like, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, they were going to go, like, top of that class.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No bias.
Yeah, no bias from that. And then for
no
you,
bias, I don't hear it.
I know, no bias from us. We'll go ahead and
I don't hear it
from that. So 1 and 2 can really, there's really good chances to take. I mean, for first overall for New Orleans, they could go the defenseman route. They have two great options. Second overall, you have so many different options. You can get pretty well balanced centers. You can also pick up the whoever doesn't go first in that first. Pauly versus Quentin. We haven't even talked about Wreck-It Ralph either. Where do you think, do you think he falls to third overall to be picked up by Buffalo? Or where do you think Buffalo is sitting at?
The big problem out of all of this by far has been, oddly enough, the early quality, it's everywhere. Like, Wreck-It Ralph could go anywhere from 1 to 6.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, he could even still go lower than that. It's entirely possible.
Exactly. It's entirely possible, especially with some of the other names that we've talked about. We talked about Ashton, talked about Johan, talked about Thunderspeaker, great name. Pollywag, another great name. Quentin Hennessy, another great name. All of these players could really round out either the top four, or some of them could probably potentially fall into maybe that 5 through 8 area. And if that starts to happen, that 5 through 8, Buffalo kind of can make that decision to pick wherever. But at 4th and 8th pick, you got San Francisco. So out of all of the drafts to kind of be in that top 10 area, the Pride could really clean up here, picking up two very quality players very early in the draft that are producing pretty well and hopefully be able to stay around even longer, coming in at 4th overall pick.
Yeah, of course. And I think one strength of this class is that there's talent all over the place, even though, like, the class might be a little bit smaller. Like, all the guys we talk about, like, they're a great pick. They're gonna be great picks, in my opinion. No matter where they end up. Obviously, like we said, New Orleans needs a demon, but, like, wherever they go, like, with their pick, you can't go wrong with, like, that identity.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Some teams are really lucky to have top 10 picks right now.
Yeah, I know. If our GM was on the call right now, I'd be questioning why we don't have a top 10 pick, but I don't think our GM's in the call right now, so we're fine.
All right, so there's the awkward silence.
pointing that out kind of provided an awkward silence there for a second.
Apologize.
Yeah, well.
So,
no, we like you, Owen. Don't worry.
I know.
You're good.
we trust the process. We really trust the process.
Yeah, we definitely do.
And you're going to be... Go ahead.
I'll tell you guys after.
Go ahead. No problem. No problem. So we have pretty topped up. If you all don't mind, we could actually drop down to maybe that middle area to pick number 8. Getting down to all the Quintons and everyone else that we talked about, who do you all think that the Pride pick up with their 8th overall pick?
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
all these top 10 picks up, the Pride are really in need of anything they can get. Their only outstanding prospects right now are Perry Fields in the 83 draft class and No Cheddar in the 81 draft class. One's a center, one's a right defense. So they really could go either way, but I think when you have one forward and one defenseman, most teams are probably going to either prioritize the best available or a forward.
Fair enough. Do you think they do the slam dunk and pick up Pride tape? That way you got double Pride representing on the team?
I think it's entirely possible.
It's entire. I agree.
There's a lot of defense options there. Like Wreck-It Ralph could still fall down there. Gary Winters, another bigger, and he could fall down there. So Pride tape, being picked at 8th overall is not out of the question.
Yeah, and actually had the opportunity to scout the user in late last season. For a J draft, and it's a great user too. I've had a great talk with the user, and obviously, like, getting drafted first with QCC too, so that's a major point. Usually when you get drafted early in the G draft, you also get drafted high in the SHL draft, so wouldn't surprise me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Even if it's a bit of a drop, it's still, like, a good, it's an awesome thing. For sure.
Right. Making our way down to the last two of the top 10. Valkyrie coming up in here. I believe they had another pick within the second round. They traded that away to the Rage. But Madison, even then coming then, you're coming into these later areas, and we don't have to really get into the actual in-depth for the players. But for these later areas, speaking to two GMs, where do you all start to prioritize your lives? Where you start looking more into the bank accounts? Do you start looking more at TPE, the activity? What's kind of like starting to turn in your heads when, if you were to start getting into these later rounds for the teams that only have one pick within the first round of this draft?
I would definitely start to look at it in the later rounds because locker room is always going to be the highest priority. But then it gets to a certain point where not everyone is able to provide a whole lot of locker room activity, and that's fine.
I can speak to
so
that.
So I think especially in the late first round, I think anything after pick 17 or 18 could – start to be a factor of looking into bank account rather than activity as well as TPE.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I was about to say pretty much the same thing. It's great note.
Oh yeah, being someone
pretty much the same.
Also having that locker room, like we can't harp on it enough. I believe every time we do some of these draft discussions or even just talking, you know, in our own personal channels within our respected locker rooms, having people be able to be involved, share their own stories, it really does build that sense of community, which the SHL is all about. But on top of that, if you start seeing players like, you know, starting to move towards being inactive or maybe feeling a little bit of concerns about what to do and what to build, having someone be able to take that step and ask and really form those bonds. I mean, our locker room, just between us three in general within Baltimore, has been fantastic. I know I'm not very active in the locker room, but I'm always lurking, always can see what's going on, and the amount of community and the amount of things that we just do, it's awesome. It helps out, makes you not feel so lost.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So this draft looks to be very, very it can go a magnitude of different ways. So we look forward to doing the draft, viewing the draft, and seeing all the different players be able to shape out and how they're going to transition once they actually get called up into the SHL. So with that being covered, we do have some questions, I believe, if that's right, O1, that we could go through as well.
Yes, the questions. I have to go find them real quick, one second.
No problem. And I think, and I was going to say for the one Winnipeg fan who's going to listen to our podcast is going to be very upset that you forgot them at pick number 13 and skipped right over them. You're going to be very upset.
Did I miss something?
No.
Pray I didn't. It says Winnipeg is 13.
Oh, yeah, Winnipeg's 13. I'm just joshing you.
The very first question, what are your thoughts on Sergei Rovanov leading all J rookies in points? Will he be a serious contender at the SHL level? And where do you think he will land?
Oof.
I have to find him on my... Oh, found him.
You're like a supercomputer over there. I have to find him. I found him. He has been found.
He has been found.
Fantastic for the Battleborn coming in at 58 points as a rookie. I think that honestly might be pretty on par with my own character, who's TPE maxed out. Let me take a look.
Right.
So he's sitting at 58. Yeah, he scored more points than I did. That's fantastic. I think I'll speak from my own experience from it. The J is completely different. When coming into this, it's very impressive being able to go up against some teams, especially for Nevada. I think Nevada made it all the way to the conference finals before dropping to the Scarecrows, if I'm not mistaken. Being able to go into that as a rookie, having someone who's be able to stand up and contribute both as productive as he can, I feel like that transition won't be bad per se moving into the actual SHL, but it's always going to be one of those things just to see how the character, it's going to come down to if they're going to stay active enough to get to the SHL, because if they can, then by all means, of course, you're going to have a fantastic player coming in.
So where do we think Sergei lands?
That being said,
in terms of picks, I mean, we look at his performance. Like, his performance was amazing. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah. And obviously, like the earning is great too, so it's something to take into account as well.
To be honest, I think I may be odd man out here. I think he might, and I really hope, don't jinx this onto the player. I hope I'm wrong, but I think he might actually drop down to probably the lower parts of the top 10. Still be taken in the first round. It'd be absolutely crazy if he doesn't go in the first round.
Yeah, if he did get taken in the first round, I'd be shocked.
I'll be absolutely shocked. Yeah. But I think it really comes down, from my experience, it's going to come down to the interviews that he does with the team, how he interacts within the locker room. And like you said, O1, it's going to come down to bank as well, because the bank's going to hold you over for summer. But once the season starts going and those dog days start setting in, if you're really scrounging for cash and you're relying on chippers, it's going to get a little bit difficult in your later seasons.
Right. But as well as I speak on getting drafted. Oh, sorry, you want to go?
No, you can't go. Don't worry.
All right. I speak on experience of getting drafted with a low bank account. I think I was drafted with a bank account of 5 or 6 million. I've built that up since then, largely.
Yeah, it's kind of similar. Similar with what Rovanov is at, actually. And, like, one thing I've learned through these Babcasts and overall in the league is that, like, you know, when we talk about, like, if you can be gained if you miss, like, a task or something, you can't, like, regain it, except if you do, like, recruitments or something, okay?
Oh yeah.
Because like money, even though your bank account might be low, you can still like grow it up. Like you said, Owen, like what you did, basically. You can always like gain. There's a lot of ways to gain money in the league. Like by doing media like we're doing right now, or even some written pieces. And like even jobs and stuff, so you can always build up your account. So, yeah.
Great insight for that. Do you think he goes top 10, or do you think he drops maybe a little bit out of the top 10?
Yeah, he definitely goes top 10 in my book.
I think, Owen,
if you want to talk, obviously from your SHL GM perspective, how much do you value like the bank account when you?
I don't value it a whole ton. I'm looking a lot more at the person rather than the bank account. Just because they have a small bank account doesn't mean they're not dedicated to the league. If you have a dedicated person to the league, they're going to work to get that money.
Good point.
Even though Romanov might not have it right now, two or three seasons down the road, he could definitely start to have it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Obviously, at the beginning, though, having a $4 million bank account it's not preferable. It's going to tank your draft stock a little bit, not a whole ton. It really depends on what kind of locker room activity he provides, because honestly, I don't know that.
That's true.
I think he could go between 8th and 12th.
I agree with that.
I have him currently, I believe, on my mock draft, looking at mine, I had him going 8th. I've also seen on the forums some people placing him, you know, between that sweet spot, between 5 to 12, that type of area. I can see that.
Where I had him in my mock draft was GM average.
GM average.
That was my pick for him aside every other pick. GM average gets every single pick in the first round.
It literally took my brain like 5 seconds to process what that meant, and then it clicked on me. Oh yeah, that's right. I get it now. Ha ha ha. You're lucky for that. I remember those days.
My best asset.
All right, what's another question we got?
Next question from Trips. Thank you, Trips. Baltimore has undergone a significant amount of brain drain the past few seasons, especially in the war room. Both Ricky and I can speak on that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you all think you'll work to address this, or do you think you'll ride out with younger voices finding their way?
I'm gonna leave it to you.
That is more of a me question. There's a lot to work around. I mean, especially with the recent stepping down of HF, I'm now working in a situation where I have to think, hey, do I want to provide this leadership, even though I'm as well a young voice? I've been around here 7 months, but it's almost 8 now. But definitely letting younger voices, working their way around, being able to provide my input as well as learning on the war room around me. I mean, Mike, he isn't new to the league at all. He's been around for a while. We have all these people that are able to provide insight, and that's what makes us at the end of the day a perfect team. So on one end, yes, I want younger voices to find their way, but at the same time, I want to be able to provide that input from myself, from my own opinions, as well as the veterans and leaders in this league that could provide the same input.
Fantastic. That's my GM, by the way. That's my GM right there.
That's my GM too.
I'm gonna throw that in my application.
That's all this is. It's been propaganda just to get you just to send it off as a media piece for your application for GM.
Yes, this podcast is...
Yep.
Don't tell him about that, though.
No, never, ever.
If you had the top five picks in the draft, who would Baltimore select and why? So we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
If we had all five?
Okay, yep. Bias obviously will come back.
And I speak on immediate memory here because I know what's going on in the locker room. I've been looking at this for hours. So, lots of forwards, a goalie, one defenseman, two defensemen, four forwards, and a goalie are the huge standouts of Baltimore at this time. So definitely expanding on that defense, as well as maybe getting two more forwards there to build alongside that group. We're able to build a complete top six.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go to our scouting sheet, personally, where I would go Quentin Hennessy, Pauly Wag. I would go Johan, and then I would go...
We're judging you,
Sergei
right now.
Rovanov.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Okay.
Sergei Rovanov would be my fourth. And then for this fifth pick, you could really go either way, because you have two forwards, you have two defensemen. You look at the whole young group, we got two complete pairings, two complete lines. I mean, you could really anywhere with that.
You can run wild. I mean, from those...
You can run wild.
You can literally pick an entire on-ice unit. You can take Quentin. From Quentin, you can take Pauly, Ashton, Johan, and then just round it out with either Prime Tape, Panda. You also got... name just escaped me right now. We were literally just talking about him. Romanov, I believe, is that it? Romanov? I don't want to be quoting like Black Ops lore.
Yeah, Rovanov,
ROV.
Yeah.
Okay. you can take any combination of those five. I think you're pretty solid with it. I mean, coming from go ahead.
I'm taking Ashton with my fifth, by the way.
Okay. Okay. Good.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
See, now we got the good. Ashton went fifth, so I guess we can forgive for that. But that's not bad.
That's not in any particular order. We're talking one.
Exactly.
I can go in whatever
exactly
order I want.
Exactly.
It doesn't really change anything. But you have other teams in that top five, then it starts to make a little bit of difference.
Especially even for them. Go ahead, rookie, right after I make this point.
Okay,
even for this, like the top five, we've already talked about it before in the little mock draft that we did. It's just, it's going to depend on where they go, how they speak in the locker room, that type of thing.
Right. And also,
that's really going to be the deciding factor in this top five.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, like, if you bring two players from the same G team, you already have like a kind of chemistry in the locker room. So it also helps for the future. Like you talk about Johan and Ashton. So obviously, imagine if we could bring, like, you know, like in that imaginary scenario where we had like the top five picks, well, it would be great additions, I think.
Right. I wish we could get 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, but unfortunately we cannot.
I know, tampering rules, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, that would be really tough to do anyway.
Yeah.
We would probably have to trade away the whole team except for like two of us, and
we have
like the first six.
We'll run one
or
line.
Seven picks, rookie. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I know what you're gonna do. Don't do it.
What's the?
I'm not gonna do it. You're good.
What's the?
I know.
What's the next question we got?
Who will you miss from NYR? Who will you miss from most from the old core, and why is it me?
Huh.
I see this.
To be honest,
from the old core.
To be honest, I don't know if this will count towards it, but Ace, I'd miss Ace. I know that doesn't really
oh, yeah.
that
yes.
wouldn't
yeah.
I don't think that would really constitute, because we have a lot of really good players. You know, I don't want to discredit them from either remaking, retiring, moving on, that type of thing. I don't want to discredit that, but just Ace in general has been a part of the league. He was a part, very active within the locker room, not only him doing a lot of the cast. I mean, for you, O1, I know you have a lot of experience working with him, obviously, even with you, Rookie, as well. I feel like, in general, that presence, it's going to, we're already feeling it now, and it's up to the young guys, us doing this podcast, as well as the others in the locker room, to kind of carry that weight that's left from his departure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the one. That is one of the players I really, really miss.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that, I don't want to discredit anyone else. We're gonna miss everyone who's moved on from their time, from the locker room, everything like that. But just wanted to, I didn't mean to get all sentimental, sappy, but that's going to be very interesting to see. And I think the amount of talent that we have, I'm very confident we'll be able to pick up where Ace has left off. But yeah, what's another question that we got?
I didn't get to answer that.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Wow.
I thought we were all in unison. Sorry. I was jumping off the bridge just by myself, apparently.
Well, yeah, I do really. I am really going to miss Ace. But do you know who else I miss a lot?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Wally.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Wally. That's fine, doesn't it?
Yeah, I could talk about, like, and now how he comes.
The especially heartbreaking part for me right now and Wally's departure is, at the moment, if we look up his player, he's inactive. Like, he went from a great GM, early mentor for me, to just gone in an instant, and it really, really breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Especially when he left, because then the big question mark was, with both Wally and Trips leading, who were going to be the next two in charge?
Yeah.
I think
Ace was always going to be. I think he was always going to be the head GM, but we didn't know who he was going to go for co. I immediately didn't expect it to be me. But that's how the pieces fell. That's how it happens. It was ultimately the start of my GMing career, but I still really, really miss him. Because he's not even around in the league anymore.
Yeah.
That is rough.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What about,
especially him being the GM that drafted me, so obviously with HF2.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing both of them leave is like a big heartbreak, since they're great people, obviously. And
The sudden departure from Ace just kind of felt like the SHL gods were punching me in the throat for a second time.
That just speaks to, I think it was, what was the, it's this question or a question that I just wanted to ask is, like, how do we move on from this and, you know, make sure that our team is still competitive? Because at the end of the day, we're all pretty competitive. We love going into the locker room, sharing our memes with each other, playing the fishing bot, all that type of stuff. We all love doing that. But at the end of the day, we want to win. We want to be able to go onto the forums and see our trophies next to our name, everything like that. Score a whole bunch of goals. Just have fun with our friends. And I believe with the group of guys that we have, I mean, everyone that's taking the jump from the J going into the SHL this year, I feel like the departures hurt. They're really going to hurt, but I feel like we're not going to be nearly as bad as it could have been.
Yeah. Now, I don't mean to be biased at all, but I think we're in good hands.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, not to be biased, but I do think we're in good hands. I do think. I believe.
Not to be biased, but I think we're in good hands too.
I really think we're good. I mean, for those who are listening, who are going to be listening to this podcast, probably their first BAPcast. If it is their first BAPcast, O1, if you haven't heard him talk before, he's very dedicated, always engaging in the locker room. He's always willing to learn. He has great camaraderie with everyone that I've seen, both in different Discord channels and around the league. So I ain't even sweating. When I saw the people leave, I was shocked, but as soon as I heard the replacement, I'm like, nah, we're good. We'll be okay. Especially even with Rookie here in the mix as well, we're fine. And I think we also have, even though Jag's not really talkative as much as he is in the Kelowna locker room, even then, we got a lot of Kelowna players coming in that helped out in that locker room, so I'm not worried. Not even a little.
I mean, the culture is going to be great since, like, I think, like, I can talk for like, every guy coming from Kelowna to Baltimore this season. Like, we already know each other since, S81, I think. Yeah. And obviously, like, we know each other, so it's like it's gonna be a great adventure to continue on this great run we have.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right.
And
no bias.
I think
no bias. The
biggest obstacle out of all of it is obviously gonna be my lack of inexperience. I haven't been here for too long. I haven't been GMing for too long. I mean,
I've
been here for 3 months.
Learning.
It's not a lot I'm going off here. But that's also having the other people around us. Like, we got Mike, who's a longtime veteran. We got Jimmy, who's a longtime veteran.
Yeah.
We've got a group that can provide not only the young group that we have at the moment, including us three here, but as well as we also have those veterans that they are able to give advice because they can speak a lot of it on experience.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, like, these guys, these veterans will help you to, like, develop some great experience. And in the meantime, I think, like, that being a GM is all about, like, a learning curve, you know? If you know what I mean, it's like, I saw it as a GGM. I know it's different as in the SHL, but still, it's like all about, like, learning the small details, and me and Patrick this year in Kelowna really, really, like, learned that, like, throughout, like, the whole GMs. Well, now with, I think you had, you got some time to work with Ace, so I guess you got some roots, even though it's not perfect, it's gonna upgrade itself, like, in time. So you're gonna gain experience and get, like, more confident with your choices and stuff. And obviously, yeah. So I think it's all about, like, a learning experience. And yeah, I think you're a great guy for this.
I think I'm hoping we gave, hopefully, a detailed answer to that question.
I think
The second part, why is it me? I plead the fifth.
Same.
All three of us plead the fifth?
Yep. Right. Oh, Rookie's Canadian, so he's like, what? So he's with... That's what we're doing that. That's coming out of... Yeah. What's the next question you got?
Nations after the podcast.
Yeah, we're gonna have to teach you U.S. history, how to make some of our jokes.
Yeah. We'll have to read them the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, it'll be like,
and then
okay.
Right. And then it'll see it make sense.
Yeah, we'll do that.
The final question: every draft has a sleeper, someone who will come back from the depths of the unknown. Who would you rank as the biggest sleeper of this draft?
Oof.
I've already got my answer in mind.
You already got someone going on. I'll go outside of the top five, the players that we've talked about. For me, outside of Kelowna, outside of everyone else, I think possibilities for the middle portion, I'm going to say Frank Drebin. Someone who names their character. In my experience in the league so far, someone who names their character after a fictitious person, those people are always really active. In very rare circumstances, I've seen some people, you know, just drop out, that type of thing. But yeah, Frank Drebin, you also, we haven't even talked about it. There's a Tremblay coming out in here as well, which can carry on there.
Trips.
Yeah.
I bet you it's Trips.
Yeah, Trips, sorry. There.
It is.
They can come back in.
Those guys.
Yeah, they're there. Those are my picks. Those are my picks.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, they're great picks. Yeah.
Ricky, you want to go or should I go on this one?
You can go. Yeah.
I look at the near the bottom here actually, and I see a player I've noticed very recently, who in the draft class room, the draft class has been assigned. Bernard Moise Blanc, I think it is.
Okay.
Tell
us about him.
Star has been a very early, very high earning user. Obviously, they started out a little late. I don't know how late. But as well as that locker room activity, it's a great thing to have, and especially if Star is looking to grow their player as well, start to work up the ranks until eventually they can become one of the seals of the draft, which I believe totally they could. It's
for sure,
and I don't see why it wouldn't happen at all.
For sure. You got that perfect storm of, you have a big bank account. On top of that, you're very active in the locker room. You're exactly right. That could be a big time steal.
Right.
Let me just take a look. Sorry, it's taking a bit, but...
That's all right, don't worry about it.
No, you're good.
Yeah. I'm just struggling on the phone. Oh, yeah, okay, so... So one guy I could see go, like, a bit lower, but... who I know personally from the Hockey Junkie server. He's a Habs fan, okay, so there is going to be a bit of bias, but...
Oh, Star is a Habs fan too, by the way.
Yeah, he's too. Yeah, I know him too, by the way.
Wanted to point that out.
I forgot to mention that. I know him too. We've actually talked a lot. Tobias Kronk, user Nestle Kronk, is a very great guy, obviously. I think he could fall, and since he's new to the league, I think he could fall, but nevertheless, I know the guy, I know he's a great guy, and he's earning like pretty well too. It seems he's earning pretty well too for Geist getting his way into the league with 344 TD. So I could see him go a bit lower and be a bit of a third horse. It's kind of big.
Good pig. All right, well that's all that I have on my end. I look forward to the draft. I look forward to hopefully doing some more of these Bapcasts in the future. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, nice to have you. Nice to have. Do you guys want to end with some words for the draftees, maybe?
Oh, for sure.
Draftees? Ooh, that's my first.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
You guys start.
Okay. I'll go first because I'm a...
You want to go first?
Yeah, right. I'm a big-time talker. So what I'll say to everyone getting draft, just have fun with it. If you ever have any types of issues, always lean on your locker room going forward with it. Understand that at the end of the day, this is all just for us to have fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take anything else too seriously. If you're ever having issues, you have a support system around you. And most of all, there's so many great people to interact with, not just within your locker room, but from around the league. Moving from the J going into the SHL, just keep in mind all the people that you're getting introduced to, having the opportunities to speak with. And if it is, there's plenty of opportunities. If there's things you're interested in, speak out. I know casting has always been very interesting to me in the past, so I've been able to talk to Ace and other streamers to just ask them what's going on. And then even on the Kelowna side, I've been interested on how the GMs actually set their lines and that type of material. So everyone's always willing to help out. So just make sure if you ever have questions, reach out and just have fun with it. Those are my words.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good words, good words.
Yeah. You want to go, Oman, or I go first?
You go first.
All right, so to all the draftees, obviously, it's like getting drafted is a special moment. I know, like, there's, yeah, for especially for first gens, and like obviously, like it happens twice in like your career, in the G and in the SHL, and like obviously, like just embrace it and like have fun. Like that's all this league is about, and it's like, yeah, so the league is like about like having fun and talking with other people and like just enjoying the game, you know.
For sure. All right,
L1,
take us home. L1,
as well as I also have similar words, every single team, every single GM I've talked to, every single player I've talked to, everyone's amazing to talk to. Everyone's exceptional. They're all fun, and getting drafted especially it's a big portion of your career. And with all these special teams, I mean, sometimes some people might be looking at the performance of it, at the performance aspect, as well as others might be looking for a great locker room. And I think that's truly what this league is about. It's getting to talk, it's getting to expand with all these people. I mean, everyone here is amazing from every team. They all have amazing people, and there's nothing that I would change about any of them, because I think everyone is genuinely amazing to talk to. So enjoy yourself. Don't try to think past the performance or where am I going to get drafted. Instead of being paranoid, maybe, and if you get drafted lower than you expected, just embrace the future. Don't think about the present. Don't think about where you get drafted. Don't think about the performance, but rather instead continue to talk and have fun with all these teams. And as long as you can continue to do that, then naturally with it will begin to come a lot of cops.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic words.
Yeah. Absolutely
cinema. Cap it.
Well, if I can add something, well, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, like where you get drafted doesn't matter. Like Owen said too, it's just about like how much fun you have in the league and like how you can find like ways to, I guess, have some fun and like just like talk with other people and socialize. That's what I value the most in the league, is like the social aspect, where you can talk with a lot of people and like, yeah. So that's just about like enjoying, even like if you don't get drafted where you wanted, or well, I'm talking about that, but obviously, yeah. And I'm not the best person to talk about that since,
No, it's still...
Yeah, Vancouver, I'm not going to talk about it. It's more personal. But yeah, just enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Have fun. Don't think about the performance.
Yeah,
just have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. I'm so glad I'm here. And Raj, for someone who smells really bad, Tom, you can confirm that one.
Oh, God, yeah. Awful.
I'm glad Raj has brought a lot of us into this league, as well as everyone else. I mean, Naomi is...
Oh, yeah.
She's the big recruiter, and I'm just so glad that there's all these people who want to continue and expand this league because they love it so much, and I hope that people in this class and people right now continue to do the same. Because at the end of the day, just because we're split up into 24 different teams, that doesn't mean we're not one community as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Well, great words. Oh, my God.
We got two cinema moments for the last 10 minutes of this, but it's spoken by true GM of how you appreciate the league, how you appreciate the game. The two of you had a lot of fun on this podcast. Like I said, hopefully we get to do more of these. Let's go ahead.
Yeah,
I think that's a good spot to call it. If you want 01, let's go ahead and talk us out of it.
I have to talk us out of it?
Yeah, give us what's going to be our calling card out? BAP out?
Ricky,
let's have a vote here. Let's discuss this. All right, this can't be a one man decision here.
Okay.
Well, we're all from S81.
We're all from 81. We're all in Baltimore. Two of you come from Kelowna. I come from Detroit, so we can't do anything with that.
Yeah.
Like we would have anyway.
I know that. I don't think we can.
Thinking of all the possibilities here.
Well, I'm not that creative, so I'm not going to be throwing up some ideas.
I'll get us out of here. So, hope you all enjoyed the podcast. Until next time, this is the BAPcast giving you the 411 on what's going down in the mock draft. Until next time,
make sure to appreciate your local season 81 on your team. By the way,
yes, make sure you respect your 81s.
Here we go.
For myself, Tom Servo, for Rookie. And for 01, thank you. Have a great rest of your night. Goodbye.
That was that.
Oh, yeah.